This is Solidarity News on Radio Labour.
Hello, I'm Marc Boulanger. 1 year ago, in the morning of April 24th, thousands of workers were milling about in front of a building in a plaza near Dhaka, Bangladesh. They were garment workers, mostly young women, and they were scared to enter the building. They were worried that the building would collapse because it housed illegally the heavy equipment of a number of manufacturers, and the building had been shaking ominously. The employers reacted by hiring thugs to force the workers into the building. 2 hours after the workers began their shift, the building in Rana Plaza collapsed. 1,129 people were killed. More than 2,500 were injured. It was the deadliest garment factory accident in history. It showed what happens when a pliant government bows to the demands of garment manufacturers to allow dangerous operations and deny workers the right to join unions and fight for their rights. However, in the midst of such a horror, it was also an opportunity for the international labor movement to show what it can do when challenged by a disaster of such magnitude. Two global unions demanded that the brands which contracted work to be done in the building send representatives to a meeting in Geneva. The two global unions were Industrial, which represents garment workers at the world level, and Uni, which represents the retail workers who sell the garments. Remarkably, some 30 brands showed up at the meeting. They included H&M, Primark, and Loblaw. The International Labour Organization was asked to chair at the meeting. The ILO is the UN organization which is focused on matters of work in the world. Two major decisions were taken at the meeting in Geneva. First, that a compensation fund would be established, and second, that a fire and safety accord would be implemented. I talked to some of the key people involved in the efforts to help the garment workers in Bangladesh. Monica Kemperly is an Assistant General Secretary of Industrial. I asked her to describe the current situation concerning the compensation fund.
We have meetings since September last year, and we started really to work hard on this compensation payment. Now we are in this edition that we can say that we start to pay payments on the victims, because the scheme is ready, is agreed, the trust fund is great, the trust fund works, brands have to pay in this trust fund. And this trust fund functions with a scheme, the payment functions with a scheme on the convention 121 of the ILO. So we have a clear and transparent scheme. This trust fund will be paid by the brands, and brands can also pay who has not produced in Rana Plaza, but can make payments in solidarity. But other brands who has production in Rana Plaza has to pay in this fund, and brands can also pay who has not produced in Rana Plaza, but can make payments in solidarity. But other brands who has production in Rana Plaza has to pay in this fund.
Ben van Peperstraete is the supply chain coordinator at Uni Global Union.
We represent workers in the service sector. So in that sense, the workers who actually work for the name brands that were producing at Rana Plaza or are producing in Bangladesh, represent those workers in the shops, in the distribution. At this point, the Rana Plaza arrangement and the Rana Plaza Trust Fund have made a commitment to ensure that every beneficiary, so every victim or family of a victim, depending on being disabled or workers being killed, receives an advance of 50,000 taka to their final compensation payment. We, together with our allies in the labor movement, consider that brands have a big responsibility to make sure that there is enough money into the trust fund, convincing brands that they actually live up to that expectation.
Kalpona Akhtar is the executive director of the Bangladesh Center for Worker Solidarity.
International labor movement these days is doing enormous work, like Uni Global and Industrial is one of the biggest player of this accord. This has been signed by 100 fashion brand and retailers. So they're playing a vital role in this movement. The accord is legally binding, and the legally binding means is that if accord signatory companies fail to comply with the accord's standards, then they can be sued in their native country's court. So we just mean it is legally binding.
Is that one of the reasons the American companies such as Walmart don't want to sign the accord, because they would be legally liable in the U.S.?
Yes, that is the one reason that they don't want it to sign this. I would say a different thing, that they really don't want it to do anything to improve the working condition. If they would do, then they don't need to fear about this legally binding or not legally binding, okay? So they really don't have any intention to make a real change. That is why they're, you know, by accusing that this is, or making an excuse that this accord is legally binding and we don't want it to sign on it.
Would companies that have to work with the provisions of the accord have to find a union partner in Bangladesh to have the accord implemented in their factories?
The accord itself is signed with the union, the global union, and local union along with them. And there is one union, progressive one, the Bangladesh Garment Industrial Workers Federation, that we work with. Okay, so they are also one of the signatory. So the accord says that the workers will be in the board, in the table, in the improving process. What I believe, the worker justice always, you know, start with worker safety. So accord would be like one of the tool to get unionized all these factories. But in this moment, yes, it will help to have sort of a safety committee at the factories, but it will work with the local union, the Bangladeshi union, during its implementing process.
There are 5,000 garment factories in Bangladesh, employing some 4 million workers. How will the owners of those factories be forced to follow the accord?
Bangladeshi factories are not obligated to sign this accord. They don't need to do that. It is like international companies who need to sign this accord, okay? So the Bangladeshi company will need to follow the local domestic labor law. And in coming days, that accord going to train workers about the safety. But in the same time, it will also teach workers association rights. So when workers would know this association right, definitely they will give a step forward to organizing and join with union. And moreover, this accord going to cover about 2,000 factories. That's a huge number.
The ILO is the UN agency which is concerned with work-related issues in the world. Gilbert Hungbo is the Deputy Director General for Field Operations and Partnerships at the ILO.
In my view, the key challenges in the immediate term is obviously to get sufficient resources to pay for the compensation to the victim, which is one, the kind of short-term challenge. And then secondly, you can look at what are the lessons learned and the challenge that I will call kind of structurally speaking. There are several levels. One will be drawing lessons from what has happened. How do we make sure that never happened again? I.e., how do we make sure that we do not jeopardize people's health and safety for the sake of any kind of reasons? Another challenge that we have moving forward, how do we make sure that we assist the government, in this case Bangladesh, but going beyond Bangladesh, as a country to have the minimum institutional capacity to face such challenges? Then we have also some challenges in terms of balancing the economic and the social. One thing is to really make sure that, okay, we have the minimum living standards that are needed for the workers. Another thing is to do it in a way that it does not jeopardize the economy, the business. So how do we strike the right balance? From what we have also seen, namely when you talk about the compensation, one of the challenges that we're getting from there, one thing is for us, and ILO has been quite very good in using the Convention 121 as a reference point in dealing with the compensation issue. Now, how do we move ahead, making it in a systemic approach for Bangladesh or for other countries? And while doing that, making sure that the impacts on the cost of production for the economy still allow the country to remain competitive. So how do you deal that at the country level, or do you deal with that at the regional level to make sure that we remain the country, keep their competitiveness? And as a region, we also have to see how do we balance the need to protect the workers' right, which is for us non-negotiable, that we really need to protect their right, improving their living condition. At the same token, still making it appealable for the international buyers to kind of come and outsource the work. Because at one point, if the difference about the production does not worth the while, it's the whole business that will go down. You know, there have been a lot of talk where we believe that everybody has to do their part. For example, the consumers. And we said that the consumers, are they ready to pay €1 more or $1 more? And if you have an opinion poll, you'll see that most consumers will not mind paying $1 more. But the heart of the matter, how do we ensure that that dollar, that extra dollar, goes to the pocket of the workers? How do we make sure that it does not end up in the subcontractor level or the retailer level, etc.? So those are the challenges that we believe that as an international community, we need to engage the debate, and hopefully in the coming month or years, we can have a good solution.